Welcome to the Haftarah of Chukas Balak. Last week, we left off with a question. The Torah clearly directs us to appoint a melech. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Amud Beis, tells us that appointing a melech must precede the mitzvah of destroying Amalek and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If so, why did Shmuel HaNavi rebuke the people for requesting a melech? The Chasam Sofer answers that this particular mitzvah falls under the category of a reshus. In other words, if we are on a high level of betachin, there is no need to appoint a melech, and we can complete the other mitzvahs without a melech. However, if we are lacking in betachin, then appointing a king comes first. Furthermore, he points out that Shmuel's example of rain in the dry season was a powerful lesson. Rain is a wonderful thing, but only in its proper season. When it rains in the dry season, it is a curse. Similarly, requesting a king is a powerful thing, but only at the right time. The people panicked when Nachash, the king of Ammon, came to attack them, and they requested a melech. This was a request at the wrong time, for it came as a result of a lack of betachin. Therefore, Shmuel and Navi demonstrated to them, with rain out of season, that they had made a mistake. This week, we combine Chukas and Balak. Since we missed a week of regular Kriyas Torah when Shavuos fell out on Shabbos, Eretz Yisrael has been a week ahead of us ever since Yom Tov, and this week we catch up. As usual, the Haftarah is selected from the second Parsha, so we lay in the Haftarah for Parshas Balak. Early in the Sefer, the Navi talked about the coming of Mashiach. The Haftarah opens with a nevuah regarding those Yidden who are still in Galus. V'hoyu she'eris Yaakov bekerav amin rabim k'tal me'es Hashem krivim vivim alei esev asher lo yikave li'ish v'lo yechala livnei adam. They will be like dew and rain, which come without human intervention. So too, these Yidden will be cared for directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without any need for human assistance. Melech HaMashiach will be like a lion in the forest, v'hoyu she'eris Yaakov bagoyim bekerav amim rabim ka'aryeh babahemes yar, and nobody can save himself from him. Hashem will destroy the horses and chariots, v'hichrati susecha mikabecha v'varati mikarboisecha. Yonis ben Aziel says this refers to the armies of our enemies, while Rashi explains is that we will no longer rely on others to aid us in our wars. The Radak explains that we will no longer require any weapons at all. Hashem will also destroy fortified cities, v'charti ore artzecha, v'harasti kol mifsarecha. Here too, Yonis ben Aziel says that Hashem will destroy our enemies, while the Radak says we will no longer need these defenses. Hashem will destroy all forms of Avodah Zarah and witchcraft and also annihilate our enemies, pouring out his wrath on the nations who do not obey. V'asisa ba'af uvachema nakam esagoyim asher loy shameyu. The Sefri explains that they will be punished for not keeping the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Similarly, Yonis ben Aziel translates this as lo kabilun ulfan araisa. The Malbim, however, explained that this refers to those goyim who did not convert at the final battle of Gog Magog, as it is discussed in Zechariah, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Hashem says that he has a complaint against the mountains and the hills. Shimu harim es riv Hashem, v'esonim moiste oretz. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, explains that the Avos are the mountains and the esonim, the mighty ones, while the hills are the imbahis. Hashem did not demand very much from their children. He did not ask for huge amounts of karbonis. He can add, as the Ramban points out in Vayikra, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph, that even those karbonis that Hashem did demand are not exotic wild animals that are difficult to capture. Rather, they are from our flocks and herds, animals that are readily available. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and provided us with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Ki Eli Sicha Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Ubeis Avodim Pidi Sicha, Ve'eshlach Lefanecha Es Moshe, Aaron, U'Miriam. Yonis ben Aziel explains that Moshe taught Torah, Aaron brought forgiveness for us as the Kohen Gadol, and Miriam taught Torah to the women. Remember how Balak and Bilam plotted against us. Zechor no ma yoetz Balak melech moyav, Uma ono oisoi Bilam ben Ba'or, Menashitim ad ha-Gilgal, Leman da sitkois Hashem. This, of course, is the connection with our Pasha. As the Navi mentions Balak's attempt to hire Bilam to curse us, how does this show Hashem's kindness? The Gemara explains in Brachas Daf Zayin Amud Aleph that Bilam's power was his ability to sense the single moment in the day that Hashem is angry. At that moment, Bilam's curse was extremely potent and could cause the destruction of the entire nation. Tosis says that although the anger only lasted one moment, Bilam could say, Kalim, destroy them. Or, perhaps, once he started the curse at the crucial moment, he could continue with a long curse. Hashem refrained from any anger during that time, so Bilam never had an opportunity to utilize his devastating power. The Navi mentions Shittim, which is the location where we did Avera with Baal Par. Even so, Hashem brought us to Gilgal, the very first camp in Eretz Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer explains the connection with Shittim on a much deeper level. The Gemara we quoted above says that Hashem's anger is aroused when all the kings put on their crowns and bow to the rising sun. Since the sun is the source of all life on the planet, as nothing can live without its warmth and radiance, all of the world is negatively affected by their behavior. Even the Yidden, a nation of Tzaddikim, cannot save the world, since they are also dependent on the sun. However, Bilam's curse could not be effective while we were in the Midbar, sustained by the Mun, which came directly from Shemayim, without any influence from the sun. Bilam planned to wait until we arrived in Gilgal, which is in Eretz Yisrael, and no longer eating the Mun. At that point, his curse could have effect, since we now are dependent on the sun for our own existence. In his kindness, Hashem ensured that Bilam was killed before we entered Eretz Yisrael, thus thwarting his evil plot. The Navi concludes, Hashem does not demand large number of karbanos, nor does he demand human sacrifice. Rather, Hashem demands that we do justice, love chesed, and serve Hashem with modesty. The Gemara explains in Makos, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, that justice refers to din, chesed is gemilas chasadim, and snei leches refers to the burials and achnasas kala. Even though these actions are usually done publicly, we are exhorted to try to maintain a low profile while performing these mitzvahs. The last question is, the Navi clearly links the sin of Shittim with Karbanos. What is the link and connection? Have an amazing Shabbos.